You know, Jesus Christ is the master teacher. Let's look at one method of teaching that He used today, right here on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse. I'm Jeff Archie. And thank you for joining me today for our study. We come to you each week to spend some time in the study of God's Word as we examine book, chapter, and verse. And I hope you'll tune in each week as we look at God's Word together. Now, throughout our broadcast, you'll see our contact information. We would be honored to hear from you. And please stay tuned, for at the end of our broadcast, we will offer Bible study material absolutely free so that you may continue your studies in God's Word in the privacy of your home. Thank you again for joining me today. Our book, chapter, and verse today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. How beautiful it is to read of our Lord Jesus Christ and His teaching as we begin Matthew 13. Verses 1 through 3, and actually going through the first part of verse 3, the Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables." Now, when He sat by the seaside and great multitudes, you know, that's plural. That's strong. Great multitudes, large number gathered to Him, wanted to hear Him. So when He moved into the ship and sat down, that is a position of a teacher. When the teacher would sit down, that's the time that He would begin to instruct. And the crowd stood on the shore. What a mass gathering. That's just amazing to think about that. Then we see His style of teaching. He spake many things unto them in parables. Now, let's drop down to verse 10 of Matthew 13. And let's gather this study. The question was asked in verse 10, and we'll get the answer in verses 11 through 17. "And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall not see, or seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." I look at this and I can see the reasoning. You see, the disciples were followers, and they were listening. But others were not. Now, next you have a basic teaching concerning learning. The more you desire, the more you will attain, because that is where the heart is set. And of course, if one does not desire, even a bit of interest would diminish quickly. That's the explanation of verse 12. And in verses 13 through 15, therefore, because of the approach of people in listening, there still might be that moment that something piques their attention. Because in 15, Jesus said, watch now, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Now, allow verse 16 to become what I like to term a phrase of praise in the life of one who will see and hear the wonderful works of God. Will that apply to you, dear listener and friends? Verse 17 reminds me of further study from passages such as 1 Peter 1, verses 9 and following, of prophets that inquired and searched diligently of the things we know, and even angels desired to look into them. Again, 1 Peter 1, verse 12. Now, this is just a quick explanation of the parables of Christ. Jesus would teach them in the hope that something would pique or catch their attention to where they would listen more to Him, take what He taught them, and apply it and change their very lives. The parables of Christ, I love to call them masterpieces from the master teacher, commonly defined as earthly stories with heavenly meanings. The word parable in its original language means to throw alongside of. Let me show you something, but let me throw alongside of it a parable that I can explain and teach and understand, and you can get the understanding. Now, staying in Matthew 13, let's spend some time looking at one of those parables today. It's one of my favorites. Actually, all the parables of Christ are my favorites, but I really like this one. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, it's the parable of the mustard seed. And it's one of seven parables concerning the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's a very short parable, and we'll read it, and then let's understand the meaning of the parable. Verse 31 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The parable of the mustard seed. Well, let's spend time looking at this parable today. First of all, let's look at it, one seed. Specifically, a mustard seed. Something stands about that mustard seed. As we note, it's sown in a field. It's the least of all seeds. But when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree. You know, isn't it something how you can take a small seed and plant it, and from there you have a number of fruits that will come forth? Isn't it something how you could take a small tomato plant, put it in the ground, and from that plant, once it starts to grow and you stake it, and my mother being the old farm girl, sucker the plants, and then you see fruit come forth. The tomatoes are just plentiful. Well, that mustard seed had that characteristic. It started small, least of all, but it grew great. Luke 8:11 reminds us how the seed is the Word of God. It begins small. It'll start in one heart. But it'll make a great difference in that person's life, and then they're able to make a difference in other lives. With this, watch the growth of the church. When Jesus was born, in Matthew's account of Matthew 1, verses 21 through 25, we understand how a little child shall lead them. And that's a fulfillment of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 11, 6. Now watch, a little child. Here's a birth of a little one. And then we find where Jesus, and we've noted this in other studies, said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. Singular form, a prophecy of the Father. Again, it's a prophecy going back to Isaiah 2, 1 and 2. A promise of the Son and a purchase of the Savior, Acts 20, 28. You see, one person said, I will build my church, and look what happened. How about Jesus choosing 12 apostles to carry forth His Word? Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, He named them and sent them on what we call the limited commission. And in Luke 24, 44 through 49, He told them how He would give them the commission, that it would all start in Jerusalem, that how they would teach and preach what they had learned. It all began with 12. On the day of Pentecost, 12 stood. It began small. I mean, stay with this. Prior to Pentecost, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Now we're up to 120 that were there in Acts 1 and verse 15. Do you see how we start with a child, then one man, then 12, 120. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:41, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Keeps growing. Acts 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, stay with me on this, because now we're going to go through the book of Acts, and what do we see? A growing church, multiplied. From Acts the 6th chapter, verse 1, through Acts 12 and verse 24, we see that word multiplied five times, and that was before the first of the missionary journeys where the church continually grew, to where Paul could boldly affirm later that Christ and the gospel in Colossians 1:23 was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now, isn't it something how it all began with a little child who would lead them? Thus, back to the parable. Its overall meaning, the church began through one and remains in one, His body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. But look at the growth and the power therein, the church. Folks, here we must be reminded to never ever underestimate the power of one individual or the very small thing one may do. In Matthew 10, verse 42, Jesus said, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. It reminds me of that hymn, Follow Me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, just a cup of water is all that I demand. And that is with that. Jesus said, if this is the opportunity I've given you, then do the best to use it. It may be another opportunity, maybe a larger opportunity, but whatever I give you, do it with everything that you have. Listen to Luke 17, verse 6. I'm going to make this thing go full circle. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, context-wise, we do what we are commanded to do, regardless of size or request, and watch what happens. Watch how the influence of one person can open the door for so many. So many times we think that we cannot do the will of God, but we can. Learning from this parable, seeing its great power, learning from this parable, one seed, one individual can make that great difference. One individual can take the ability that God has given him or her and impact the world. You know, the world will begin to change when it begins with us. What is that saying? A better world begins with me. Better world begins with you. One seed. Studying this parable, let's continue. There's one field. Now notice, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, one seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, one field. Now, this man knew his property. He knew what would work. He knew the best place to sow that seed. He also knew his seed. He knew what to order. He knew what to plant. He knew what would work. Also, the man sowed in his field. Now, Luke's account in Luke 13, verse 19, calls this a garden. But the man knew his field, and he knew his seed, and he knew it is his field. I mean, everything, he knew the characteristic. So let's think about this. There's nobody that knows your property better than you, and nobody that knows my property better than me. And the property we're talking about is our hearts. Nobody knows your heart better than you. Let's think about the heart for a moment. In Acts 2 and verse 47, or rather Acts 2 verse 37, when they were pricked in the heart on Pentecost, they asked what to do. When the seed, the Word of God, hit their field, the heart, it made a difference. The word pricked there in the Old English, they were, if you will, akin to a cattle prod. In biblical times, a prick was a long piece of a metal that came to a very pointed end, and there were those that would use it to urge oxen along, to poke them. We would call that today a cattle prod or a hot stick, to where you could, a little bit of voltage would move someone along or move animals along. You don't want to use it on individuals, of course. But the power of this is they were pricked in the heart, that the seed hit the soil that it needed to hit. Now, watch this as they were pricked in their heart. It affected their heart. It landed in their field to where it was now going to take heed and growth. We read of Simon, one of the early Christians in Acts, the 8th chapter. Simon was known as a sorcerer, and when Simon took and obeyed the gospel, he could see then as they came to give the power of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. He desired that power, and Peter rebuked him, told him his heart was not right in the sight of God. Acts 8 and verse 22, Simon's field was affected. You see, something had hit his property that wasn't right. It was not the seed that should have been sown. You know, from time to time, don't we sing a hymn, "Have your affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God?" In Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower, where does the Word of God fall? Where does that seed fall? On the hearts of men. Four different types of soul, four different types of hearts. And we know God's commands. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23 that we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Incorruptible seed, the word of God, the pure seed, one seed, falls upon the field, or one heart, the property, the field. The word of God falls upon the hearts of men, and it will make an impact. Now granted, as we studied in our parable, there are those that do not accept it, and there are those that will. Jesus told his apostles, you get it, you're listening, you're here, you're growing, but there are those that are not at the level you are, and there may be the thing that I will say that will pique their interest, catch their attention. Therefore, I teach in parables that they may understand and desire to learn more. And when the seed hits their hearts and begins to change their hearts, it changes their lives. Kind friends, we must sow in our field. We must allow the Word of God to change us. It begins small, but it's a great return. And that's why when we think about God's beautiful plan of salvation, you know, we hear about it, piques our interest, and then we start learning. I have people that will come and talk to me and say, you know, Jeff, I've been listening and I've been studying and I want to learn more about the Bible. Can you help me? I want to grow more and I want to learn more and I want to understand more. You see, something piques their interest that's been said. A seed has fallen upon that good soil, the heart, and they want to nourish it and water it. And what begins small blossoms out greatly. That's why when we sow very small, and the Word of God begins, and then we grow, and we start learning. I want to learn more about what God would have me to do. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, then you and I are able to take the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, and the Word of God affects our hearts to where our faith grows. Then we see, in believing in God, having faith in God, we want to make certain that we accept all that He teaches and understand His will for our lives. We know without faith it is impossible to please God. That's John 8:32, or rather Hebrews 11:6. John 8:32 tells us we can know the truth. The truth shall make us free. But we learn earlier in verse 24, except we believe that He is Christ, we will die in our sins. Faith prompts me to learn more of God's will for my life. And then as I learn of His will, and I grow in His will and in His knowledge, then I see I want to change my life for Him. I don't want to live the same way that I always live. Kind friend, if you're viewing this and you're thinking, I need to make a change in my life, but I just don't think that I can ever change. Kind friend, you can change. There is no sin so great that the blood of Christ cannot forgive. God did not send His only begotten Son to carry the cross up Golgotha's hill and be crucified just to cover 85% of sin and maybe a shot at the other 15%. Jesus Christ's sacrifice made it possible for us to be forgiven. And we don't need to hold on to something that God will forgive. That's why I see that beautiful word, repentance. Repentance is a change of decision that results in a change of direction. Some translations will look at repentance in Acts 2:38, change your hearts. In other words, turn away and turn toward God. Allow your decision to change your direction and to repent turn toward God as commanded in Acts 2:38. And as Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 5, confess the name of Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Words of Peter and the eunuch respectively. Make that confession, Jesus is the Son of God. And then be joined together with Him in the waters of baptism. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into His death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be made to walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man of sin is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When we bury that old man of sin, we put him away and we don't dig him back up. And then we begin a new walk in Christ, as we noted from Romans 6, 5 and 6, and we begin that new walk in Christ Jesus. Folks, as you and I take a look at the parable of the sower and the seed, do you see how beautiful it is? One seed began small into one field, and the tree came forth. The seed, the Word of God, hits the property, your field, your heart. And watch where it takes off. Watch where it takes you. And allow God to make a great difference in your life today. Let's enjoy this hymn together. And I'll be back with a few other words as we wrap up our study today.
God I love, here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Oh, the fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore Thee, may I still Thy goodness prove. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love.
For one seed, there is one tree. It becomes a tree where birds come and build. Thus our lesson. It's like the kingdom of heaven. That's the one place that we want to reside, where we want to be, and where we want to live. So let's aim ourselves toward that one location through the Word of God, the one seed, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. See you next time.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.